You want to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. How many believe God has a sense of humor? Now, every time I start working on a message, I think, you must have something against me. Yesterday, I had a whole sheet of stuff I was going to preach, and this morning, everything changed. So, same scripture, just different influence. Verse number 6 of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has called us, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. How many are just absolutely comfortable just sitting in church? You know, sometimes somebody wrote that it's a pastor's job to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Well, we're not going to do that this morning. But I want to tell you something, that when God made you, that he had a plan and a purpose and a destiny for your life, and he put within you giftings. Every one of you has giftings. You may think you have one or two, or maybe you think there's a void in your life and God didn't put anything in you. It's not true. Paul looks at Timothy and says, I want you to stir up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. Timothy had an impartation of God. And every one of you has, God has imparted things into your life that may be dormant, that may never been used, but they're always there awaiting a wake-up call to you from the Holy Spirit and say, and the Holy Spirit tells you, this is what I want you to do. No, there are challenges ahead of us. There are things ahead of us. There are times we feel, I can't make it. I can't go on. I can't understand this. I don't get it. But God is saying to you, within you is a gifting instilled by the Holy Spirit and maybe came through with an impartation through somebody laying their hands on you, prophesying over you, praying over you. And now he's telling the church as a whole. And he was telling Timothy. Timothy pastored the church at Ephesus. He's telling Timothy, stir up that gift. Stir up that gift. You know, even if you don't like what God has called you to do, that gift is still there. How many have ever been camping? How many have ever had a fire? How many have ever had just the coals of the fire left and you wanted to get some more heat out of that? And so you started throwing little pieces of wood on it. And as you throw those little pieces of wood on it, it flamed up and then you put the big log on. That's what this means. It means to kindle the fire. It means that God has placed in with something within you. It may be neglected. You may be unaware that it's there. But he's telling you to kindle the fire because he has a purpose for that gifting. And you may look at me and say, but Pastor, I don't know what that gifting is. I can tell you something. There are several gifts. There's the motivational gifts, and there's the nine gifts of the Spirit that God has placed within you. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse number 6. Romans chapter 12, verse number 6. And all I want you to do as I'm preaching on this part is to think, God, whatever you put within me, I want to come out of me. Can you say that with me?
Yes.
Say this with me. God, whatever gifting you have placed within me, I want to come out of me. I desire to minister to those I come in contact with. You know, it's very amazing. I'm going to digress for a moment. Last Thursday, I'm sitting in my office. I hear the door open. Somebody comes in. I walk out. And it's a man from Whetstone in Milbank. I knew right away what he was going to do. I knew right away that he was going to look at our meters and say, that meter's not running. How can we read it? And you know, the meter wasn't running because of the flood. We're ready to put carpet in. We got carpet ordered. We're ready to put everything back together. My office is back together. And so I walked out, and he comes out, and he looks at me. I said, you reading the meters? He said, no, I can't read a meter that's not running. And so I said, okay, here's what happened, sir. And I took him in the back room, took him around, showed him what had happened, showed him why we had the litter out in the fellowship hall. Okay. So he put his pad away. He's walking out. And I said, sir, can I pray with you? I wasn't looking for work, but something was there telling me, ask him. And he stopped dead in his tracks and said, yes, we got this issue. So we prayed, and when I got done praying with him, he prayed for our church. He blessed us. He blessed our church. You know, God has giftings in all of us. And he starts talking about them here. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. What happens to a Christmas gift that never gets open? I'm sure your kids are like mine. They never wanted to open them. A gift that's not open is really nothing. And so God is saying, through Paul, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it, and that was the word service, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Fervent in spirit. I like that. You know what that means? That means you're red hot. That means you're burning with the Holy Spirit inside, and you're looking for the first person you can lay hands on. You're looking for someone to minister to. You're looking for someone to bless. You're looking to use the other nine gifts that are coming in just a moment. You can't wait to help somebody. to encourage somebody, to minister to somebody, to bless somebody. You can't wait. Now, if that was us, we'd all run for the door and head for town. You're going to lay hands on somebody suddenly. Fervent in spirit. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Do you understand something? Look at me for a minute. I love to minister to people, but that's not my main job. My main job is to train you to minister to people. For he gave apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry, that together we're a team. Do you hear me? Yes. Say team.
Team.
We're a team. A church should not be like a football game. A church should not be 22 people who desperately need rest being watched by 60,000 people who desperately need exercise. We're in this together. And the Bible says that you need to be trained by the leaders of the church to do ministry, to serve, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper. God has called you to that ministry. I love the way you're shouting.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
God has confidence in your life to do the work that he's called us to do. And that's why Paul established Timothy in the church of Ephesus to do the work of the ministry along with the people. You're not cripples. You're not spiritual rejects. You're not spiritual retards. You're not people that have no anointing or no power or no spirit. And God is saying, listen, it's more fun to be involved than to watch. Amen?
Yes.
The Minnesota Vikings, pardon me, I won't mention them anymore because Curtis will get mad at me. The Minnesota Vikings once had a player called Benchwarmer Bob. His name was Bob Lertzema, and he made the team, but he sat on the bench most of the time. He was funny. His teammates called him Bench Warmer Bob. He made hundreds of thousands of dollars being a bench warmer. But in our lives, we're not called to warm the bench. I'd love to see every single person in this community have contact with somebody from this body of believers who would just look them in the eye and say, God loves you. How many can... Okay, look at me. Tell me God loves me.
God loves you.
Come on, I can't hear you.
God loves you.
Try it again.
God loves you.
Amen? He does. He absolutely, radically loves people. And you know something? He loves them through you. How many hear me? We okay? So he's given you power and anointing and giftings. And I'm not saying everybody's an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher. They're the ones we're having problems with. It's you guys who take the truth. Don't water it down. Let people know how much they're loved. Let them know God wants to forgive them. Let them know God wants them in heaven. Let them know God doesn't get any pleasure out of anybody being lost or sick. Amen?
Amen?
It's really true. So he says, I'm going to give you some more gifts. He says this, verse number 7 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. To how many?
Everyone.
Are you an everyone?
Yep.
Are you a whatsoever? Are you a whosoever? Yeah. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one or everyone. We're all everyone. We make up everyone. For the profit of all. The profit of all. The benefit of every single person. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. Will you say something with me? Will you believe it? Say this with me. God didn't ignore me when he gave gifts. I have giftings. You do. God has trusted you with the giftings and the blessings of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the Spirit to be an edifier, to build up the body of Christ, to be an encourager. Kirk's been talking about encouraging. How many believe that every sin that you've asked God to forgive is forgiven? Okay. Let's stop doing something then, okay? Let's stop saying, because I did this, I can't. Say this with me. Because God forgiven me, has forgiven me,
I can.
Say it again. Because God has forgiven me, I can. I am able. I am a child of God. And he has blessed me with giftings. I'm not concerned even if you murdered somebody, as long as it wasn't me. You may look at me and say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Did God ever use a murderer? Did he ever anoint a murderer? How many people have you murdered? He used Paul. Saul became Paul. God anointed him. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So don't look at yourself and say, because of this, I can't. It's because of Christ I can. Amen?
Amen.
I don't care exactly what you were, where you've been, what you've done, what you've said, who you are. How come I don't care? Because God doesn't. Man, you should be shouting. You should be excited. It just goes, phew, phew, phew. Yeah. I want to see you just burning with the fire and power and anointing and presence of God that nothing out there, no report, no news report, not Fox, not CNN, not CBS, not ABC, not NBC. No reporter is going to scare you because you know who has your hand. And you know who lives within you. And there are people worried about ISIS, or whoever it is. We don't want to attack Israel. We want to pray for Israel. But never forget, God is in control. And he's in control of you. And the way to stop a lot of this stuff is get more people saved. It's really true. Oh man, I'm not even started yet. So God goes on to say, come back to giftings now. I know we use this verse for a lot of stuff, but go back with me to 2 Timothy, please. If I don't get done, we'll finish next week. Paul says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what he's talking about? That verse is used so many different ways and so many different things. So I thought, God, I wanted to find out what this verse is really talking about. How many realize that sometimes verses just kind of go together in the Bible? Can you put that together? God didn't take a verse out of Revelation and put it in here. In my opinion, 6 and 7 go together. Is that okay? I'm not doing something bad to the Scriptures. So he says, stir up the gift of God which is in you. And then he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I believe that there's a connector here. I personally believe that some believers, not you folks, so I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to those listening on the radio. That some people are afraid to use their gifts. That ever fit? So God is saying that fear of ministering the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the motivational gifts doesn't come from me. Hello? We okay? God did not give us a spirit of fear. He didn't make us afraid to say what he's telling us to say. He didn't make us afraid to do what he told us to do. He didn't make us afraid to be used by the Holy Spirit or to be ministered by the Holy Spirit. But he gave us the gifts of power, love, and a sound mind. You have a clear mind. You have a good understanding. You have the power to act out what God is telling you. And because you love people, you're going to be used by him. It's like if Benny couldn't walk and God said, give me your hand. Stand up. Sit down. Poor Benny. But it's like that. That's why nobody sits in the front rows. I got four of them this morning. I got a lot of stuff I can do. And so it's like that. Did you ever stop and think for a minute? And I use that because to tie into this. Peter and John are walking in the temple. And the Holy Spirit tells them, because the Holy Spirit heard from Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes from Jesus and declares it to us. Holy Spirit told them, take that man by the hand and lift him up and let him walk. Do you ever stop and think if Peter, like some of us, like I have done, would stop and say, but God, what if nothing happens? What if he falls back on the ground? Anybody been there?
Yeah.
God says, go take that man by the hand, lift him out of the chair, let him walk. And if you're like me, you'll say, what happens, God, if that doesn't happen? You know, he never told you to make plan two. Plan one was take him by the hand, lift him up, let him walk. Do you think, look at me now, do you think God knows if that man's going to walk or not? Do you think God knows if he's going to heal that man or not? Or is he just trying to make a fool out of you? Nobody's answering. The Bible says Peter took him by the hand, he raised him up, and the man went walking and leaping and praising God. And just for your information, several thousand people got saved. Have you ever prayed, God, do a miracle in this town that awakens a community? And you know what God's response is? Go do one. Hello? You don't want to hear that. We're praying, and I've prayed, God, do a miracle that awakens people to your Holy Spirit, to your love. And then you see somebody in a wheelchair and you'll hide around the corner. Meet it. God may be saying, go do it. Any reason why not? So how many next time if God tells you, you're going to do it? Hello? Hello? I can't hear you. I don't see a lot of excitement. I see smiles saying, who, me? Don't think too long. You think about it, you won't do it. So God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Give me 15 more minutes and I'll cut it off, maybe. Therefore, do not be ashamed, in verse 8 of 2 Timothy 1. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor the prisoner of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. It's kind of interesting because Timothy was placed in a bad situation. The Roman government came into the church of Ephesus and told them, if you don't go back to your pagan beliefs, we're going to kill you. Paul's writing this letter to encourage Timothy, who once had the biggest church in the world and suddenly had a church of very few people. And Paul says, I can identify with your suffering. I can identify with what you're going through. My whole life has been what you're going through now. And many of Timothy's people were going back. And Paul says, Timothy, don't be ashamed. He also tells Timothy in one place, everybody who lives godly will suffer persecution. He's telling Timothy to stand fast. And he goes on. He doesn't stop there. He reminds Timothy of what God has done. Okay? Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given to us in Christ Jesus. He's telling Timothy, remember that you've been called by God, you've been saved by God, not according to anything you've done. None of you are saved according to what you've done. You're saved according to the love and grace of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's not of works of righteousness, Paul tells Timothy, that we have done, but it's according to his grace he has saved us. There is none of you that can look at yourself and say, I was so good, God had to save me. I know you're good. But you're saved according to God's grace. And he's telling Timothy, remember. Remember. I don't like to look at this, but I wrote down several things this morning to remember. When you are facing situations, and you're facing doubts and fears, you're facing things that come into your mind, and those aren't even your thoughts, they're Satan's thoughts. Remember. Remember, God has saved you. He took you out of the pit of hell and gave you a reason to live. Remember, He's healed you. Remember, He's delivered you. Remember, He guides and directs you. Remember that He's filled you with the Holy Spirit and power. Remember that He brought you through difficult times and trials. Remember, He provided for you during hard times. Remember, He protected you from the snares and traps of the enemy. Remember that He filled you with peace and joy and hope. Remember, He gives you wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And if you can't remember all that stuff, remember He loves you. Just remember He loves you. Remember. I want you to understand something. You can't get depressed when you're remembering what God has done for you. Hello? It's almost natural to get depressed. It's almost natural to get down because the things of the world and the people in the world at times will let you down. God doesn't. He doesn't. And that's just a few of the things He's done. He saved us. He's called us with a holy calling. There was nothing, say nothing with me, there was nothing we could do to earn this. Nothing. I was a drunk. How in the world could I earn something from God being a drunk? Don't look at me like that. You weren't angels either. Hello? I know you got wings now. But He saved me. He cleansed me. You know what else He did? He forgot everything I did wrong. He wiped it clean. Look at me. God has no issue with you. You say, whoa, what do you mean? He loves you. Can you imagine if He wanted to get even? Never been in His heart. I close with this. Verse 12. Paul reminds Timothy not to be ashamed. And then he makes a statement I want you never to forget. Paul says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. How many of you ever lost track of somebody? Suddenly you're walking through the mall and there they are and you're trying to think, who are they? I know them, but I can't remember their name. You ever had that happen? So they want you to pray for them and you say, well, God bless brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. And by the way, what is your name? Or they say, do you remember me? Oh, yeah. Do you remember my name? Must be Sister Popufnik. God has no problem. Paul says, I know the one I believed in. I know the God that I believed in. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That sounds so great, but let me tell you something. God can only keep what we give him. God only keeps what I've committed to him. I want you to think about that. Commit everything. Hold nothing back. Give him all. Give him your life. Take the ministry that he wants to do through you and be used of him to minister, to touch people's lives. Take the giftings that he's given you. Let them flourish. Let them blossom. Let them go through you. Take the hope and the peace and the joy and the love and everything God has blessed you with and give it away. Commit. You know, we get so scared sometimes of God because we think that if I give my life to Jesus, he's going to send me to Africa. You know something? You don't have to worry about that anymore because Africa's come here. We're as dark as Africa. So don't worry about it. Maybe it'd be a break if he sent you to Africa. Hello? It's true. God, if I do this, you're going to ask me to do something. Can I tell you something? God's not asking you to do anything he can't do through you, because if you could do it without him, he wouldn't need him. I used to say God's doesn't need our ability, he just needs our availability. I've changed that. Because I believe in the seven mountain syndrome where he wants to put everybody in one phase of a place where he's going to use your abilities. He's going to take your abilities and multiply them beyond anything you've ever been before. Whether it's in politics or business or medical field or lawyer, we need to take those places for the kingdom of God. Farming. Whatever it might be. Whatever he's placed in your hand, use it for his kingdom. Commit yourself to it. Food services. Hello. Commit your life to Christ. Because you know something? He's already committed his life to you. He's already done it. It doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter how, it just matters that you do it. When I moved to Sisseton, I never thought I'd be here 33 years. I didn't look at it as a stepping stone to somewhere else. I just thought, Lord, we'll be here 4 or 5 years. 3 weeks after we were here, 3 weeks, got a call to the place I wanted to go, Cody, Wyoming. And I knew God had just played a trick on me. Hello. If I had said no for 3 more weeks, I could have been in Cody, Wyoming. Up in the mountains. 80 miles from Yellowstone National Park. And you poor folks would never have to put up with me. But God knew that he had a plan for Sisseton, and that plan has not been fulfilled yet. It's still coming. But you're here to help fulfill it. You're here to fulfill it. And my wife looks at me and says, I'm not moving. Can you accept that God's amazingly in love with you? And God amazingly wants the best for you? And God amazingly wants to just touch your life, explode a fire within you that can't be put out by circumstances or the devil or whatever people say or whatever people think? I close with this. The Bible says, "You shall be witnesses unto me." Everything we're doing, we're not doing for people. We're doing it in the name of Jesus, for Jesus. When you share Christ with somebody, you're doing it to Jesus. When you lay hands on somebody and pray for them, you're doing it for Jesus and to Jesus. And when we do it for Jesus, He does it through us. Amen?
Yes, that's right.
Amen.